The Kickoff
with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Let's have a word with Neil Atkinson from the Anfield. Right, morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Now, last night was a special audience with Jurgen Klopp at Anfield. Roy Evans was going to that as well. I was with Roy at the weekend. He was looking forward to it. You had a little peek at what was going on there. You impressed by Jurgen?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, yeah. He speaks so well, doesn't he? And he was just mostly good company, to be honest with you, Steve. So, you know, and I think these sorts of things are good for the club to do. And I think they're good for... Hopefully good for Jurgen as well, and that he gets to sort of, you know, get the flavour of and gets to flesh out bits and pieces of what he says, and then go from there. But he, you know, he comes across as really good company, really charming, but more than that, really, which is genuinely thoughtful. And I think that that's the bit that's always overlooked, you know, amongst the charisma and the intensity of celebrations and all of that sort of stuff, is that you're dealing with a man who's genuinely very, very thoughtful, and is thinking about things all the time. You know, I don't think there's not. You get the impression from him that, you know, he'll be bouncing into training. He's the sort of fella who comes across like, you know, you'd be really happy to have him as your boss, if you see what I mean. But he's still simultaneously not. There's something bolder and bigger within him than just the idea of, as I say, than the idea that he's a very enthusiastic cheerleader, which I think sometimes he gets sort of pulled back into. And it wouldn't surprise me if he actually sort of ever so slightly resents. So, no, it was a really good thing. I think everyone who was there enjoyed it massively. And I think they also hopefully, you know, got to sort of know him a little bit better. And I think the other thing as well is what at times we do when we sort of focus game by game when we're talking about football is that almost takes us away from actually thinking about the game, if you sort of know what I mean. Because you're focusing on this incident or this refereeing decision or this mistake that this player's made, it's at times, you know, it's difficult to actually think that what the game actually is it's something that goes on. It's going on constantly away from your view. So, you know, how training works and how football is sort of how this is an ongoing process of trying to develop footballers, trying to develop people, trying to improve a football team. And that's something that's not going to be that isn't always going to be easy, but it's something which, you know, you get the impression, as I say, we focus on specific incidents. I've literally opened the Echo here, and the Echo's, you know, I think fantastic at what it does, but it's noticeable that two of the stories, and listen, trust me, we're doing something on transfers this week. We've got a transfer strategy show coming on tomorrow.
It's a quiet week.
There is that aspect, but you know, you're looking at it and two of the stories are about transfers, if you know what I mean. And meanwhile, football is ongoing. Meanwhile, you know, training is going on. Meanwhile, we're planning towards a big game. And as I say, he's got to juggle all of it. Yeah. And that's the interesting thing, is that's just sort of an ongoing thing. And yeah, I think it's something which will be. I wish there was a way for football managers to do that sort of thing more, and I wish there was a way for them to do it in a manner which, you know, where people didn't feel as though you've got to say things like, you know, well, this is just in the room. But again, when we do live events, we do that. If I always say in live events, please don't film the events, please, you know, and more because the events for the people in the room, but it shouldn't be on the wit of man to be able to allow the manager to be interviewed on LFC TV for an hour by someone where he can then go into things more.
Oh, nearly should be in here.
Yeah,
well, he should be.
He'd have a lovely time. He's training at the minute, Steve.
Well,
he loves to get up early.
And I understand priorities and all that. I did the very first one of these with Peter McDowell, to the first evening with Jurgen. It was about a year ago. And the amazing thing about Jurgen Klopp is the energy he fills the room with.
Yeah.
And with the greatest will in the world, neither me or Peter were really needed on the night. Because as soon as you've asked one question, he dominates. He's very showbiz, for want of a better word. He's comfortable in his own skin. He likes the interaction with the audience. I was just really impressed with the character.
Yeah, he enjoys himself, as I think.
Yeah.
But I think he enjoys talking about football, and I think that when he's in a room like that, and this isn't to criticise anybody, but there is a... If you do a press conference with any manager, one of the first things that, well, you know, you're always trying to get a line out of them. People are always trying to get a line out of them, and what's the story going to be, and what's the headline going to be, and what's Jurgen Klopp thinking about Roy Hodgson's time at Liverpool, as an example, around the Crystal Palace game to come. Whereas, you know, I think that I think that in general, if we could just find better ways to speak to both our football managers, but also our footballers, in a way which takes that pressure of, you know, let's get a line out of your away and turns it into let's have a conversation about football, because these people know a great deal about football, both current players and the manager. You know, he knows a huge, unbelievable amount about football, and I think that, you know, when he's in that environment, you get the impression he can sort of feel as though, well, these are my people, so we can talk about bits and pieces here now, we can relax into this. And I think that's a little bit of a shame that there are times where I think all managers walk into, and listen, there'll always be times, i.e. when things are going very badly, where all managers will walk into a press conference / interview / post-match scenario and feel as though it's in some way, shape or form adversarial. But it does seem to be that, rightly or wrongly, 4/5 of the discourse seems to go along those lines. And I think that, you know...
That's media created, isn't it?
It is ever so slightly, but I think it's also that the managers themselves are advised, you know, don't give anything away, don't do this, don't create a story if you don't have to, you know, if there isn't already something there. So I think that's both internal and external. I don't think it's entirely just media created, but there's other things as well. And I just think that's a real, you know, I think that we could learn a lot more about football if we could find a way just to sort of shift that notch a little way, one way or the other. And we could also learn a lot more about... It's very easy. Well, it seems like it's easy. I actually don't think it is. But it seems like it's easy to get a real sense of Klopp as a person. But I think that there's some managers for whom that isn't the case. And I think that we could get a better... I'm footballers. And I think that if we could find a way to sort of shift that, we could get a better sense of who people are. So, it's a good thing. And they're doing other good things as well. There's one coming up with Wijnaldum and
Virgil van Dijk, isn't it?
Yeah, are you doing that one?
No, I'm not. I must have been sacked by them.
I'm sure they love you, Steve.
No, I think Peter's doing that one. I was talking with Roy Evans on the way out from Anfield at the weekend about how managers change their personality once they take the manager's job. And we were specifically talking about Kenny Dalglish, who is a lovely fella, but when he became manager was incredibly hard to sort of communicate with. It was almost like he built this defensive wall. And a large proportion of managers are like that, aren't they? All of a sudden, there's a completely different persona about them once they're given the job.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That feeds back into the, you know, don't give anything away. Don't be, you know, and also it's the idea that suddenly your decisions get critiqued all the time, that there's always someone who would say, well, you should have done this and you should have done this. Well, that could be true, but my decisions never get critiqued. Like, mine don't get put into practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that again is something which, you know, and also the other thing about them is your decision could have been completely right. It's just that fella might have had a bad game. So you can make a substitution and you can bring someone on and you know, yeah, it could be, he's absolutely done the right thing. 65 minutes, he's made that change. We can see there's a problem. That fella could come on and score an own goal. At which point everyone's going, what are you bringing him on for? And managers are obviously, and they've never been, I don't think, more important in the game. Managers are obviously, you know, so integral to what goes on, but basically, but they're so integral to what goes on by the work they do during the week. When they've got to prepare that player for that moment during the week, to use it as an example, and then it could well be that you put that player on the pitch, and for whatever reason, and it can be as simple as he just simply does not play well that day. I think one of the things that I think is really important in general, and I was talking to someone afterwards, you're going to lose. So I'll give you a really good example. You go to Scrabble.
Moderate.
I think, and if he's listening to this, he will be shouting at his radio, but I think I'm better than my friend Steve Graves at Scrabble.
Right.
So I'm better than him. Now, Steve will be listening to his radio and he'll be furious.
You've got a greater vocabulary or just understanding of the game?
Just when we play, I think if I played Steve 20 times, I'd win 12 or 13.
But Steve will dispute it.
Steve will dispute it. Let Steve dispute it somewhere else at the minute, furious. I think I'd win 12 or 13. So I think I'm better than Steve. Because if I win 13 and he wins 7, that means I'm winning approximately 50% more than he is. He's still winning 7. He's still winning 7. So I'm saying I'm better than him, but he's still winning 7 out of 20. My point is, you can get beat at Swansea. You can be well better than Swansea, but you can just get beat at Swansea some games. And it doesn't mean anyone's done anything wrong or people haven't trained well enough or things weren't there. It's like you're playing a game. And if you're playing a game, if you choose to play a game, you open up the possibility of losing. And if you lose, which you will do every now and again when you play a game, because it's not a science, it is a game. However good you are, however much better you are than the opposition, you will every now and again get beat. And the thing Ferguson's United were really good at, unlike Steve Graves, it was getting beat. They were absolutely brilliant at getting beat. I'm terrible at getting beat as well, by the way. And if Steve's listening, he'll be talking about the time I had a tantrum and had to go and sit separately from our friends. But there is... Ferguson's United were brilliant at getting beat. And I think that one of the big moments of this season could well be when we went to Old Trafford and got beat, and those supporters who went, who were kept in behind, stayed and sang songs and had a great time, and went, we don't care that we just got beat, because we think we're a really good team and we're going to go and win the next game. And I think that's the most important. You know, there's something I think to take away both from last night, but also from this season in general. You're going to get beat, but if you're really good, it won't matter. You'll just keep playing and you'll win. You win the next one and you win the one after. And, you know, I think we're better than Tottenham. But if we played Tottenham 20 times, you know, it might well be that we drew with them at home this season. We got beat away. Last season, we beat them at home. It may well be that we drew with them away. As I say, if we played Tottenham 20 times, we win more games than Tottenham.
So where does the Palace game fall into this?
Well, the Palace game falls into the fact that Liverpool have got to turn up, be absolutely focused. It's the half 12s and we don't seem to like them. But they've got to be absolutely focused because City is on the horizon. But qualifying for the top four next season is also on the horizon. Mm. And Liverpool have got to go, I think, take the game to Palace, do it quick, do it fast. But the next part of this is they've got to... We sort of have to acknowledge that if Liverpool played Palace 20 times, 10 at home, 10 away, Liverpool would win 15 of them, 16 of them. It's possible.
Yeah, just, they're obviously a better side, aren't they?
Yeah,
but
just possible.
You can lose.
Just possible that this could be one that they lose or draw. And none of that should be taken, you know, none of that energy should be taken into the City game that follows. Mm. Because City are a better side than us.
Everyone's talking about the City game, aren't they?
But we've
Let's
got
face
to,
it, no one's talking about the Palace
but
game.
But we've
aren't
got
they?
To get a result in the Palace game. Yeah. And that is, you know, I think working out how. As a collective, that team, but also us as supporters. And as I say, I think we've got better and better. I think the Leicester game this season, I'm beginning to look back on this season. We've had the international week. I've been doing some stuff in work. And I think the Leicester City game on the 30th of December is a bit of a turning point for this season. Leicester and Burnley back-to-back in that sort of two-day where we get 2-2-1 wins, mm-hmm. having been behind in the Leicester game, got ahead in the Burnley game, but then pegged back, and we get the late winner. And we get 6 points from those two games. But also, what I think that did was it said to everyone in the crowd, it said to everyone who supported this team, these lads, they'll stick together, they'll fight, they'll battle. You know, certainly the Burnley performance, it wasn't a great day of football for anybody, but Liverpool went and got the result. And I think that one of the things that happens when you begin to think that your side is absolutely more than good enough is you then begin to relax when you get beat. And I think that is the, you know, as I say, Ferguson United were absolutely brilliant at losing. The reason why they were as good as they were was they were great at losing. They take a defeat, they shrug the shoulders, they would then get back on and they then get back playing. And I think that's what we've got to learn from. So if things don't go well against Palace, it doesn't influence the City game because things could go brilliantly against City. If things don't go great against City, it shouldn't influence the Derby. It's the idea of once you become in the game and really good at a game and acknowledging that this is what happens, you can then relax and you can all clear your minds and we can all freshen up and we can all go, OK, let's go again and let's sort the next one out. And I think that's the thing that I think, firstly, needs to happen for the rest of this season, but I think it has been happening since January. And secondly, what needs to get taken into next season is if you're going to try and win, if you're going to play to try to win 33 games, which we will next season, if you're going to try and play to win 33 games, I'm sure if the manager was here, he'd say we're playing to win 38, but 33, say, because Man City could win 33 this season, and then that's the benchmark. If you're going to play to win 33 games, then acknowledge that you're going to lose some. Every now and again, you're going to lose some. And that... And also, if you're playing the game in a way which gambles towards winning, that you really want to win, so you play attacking football, you play football that's pragmatic because it's about winning 33 games. Your pragmatic football is, what's my path to win 33? It's score 100 goals. But if you take the chance of scoring 100 goals, every now and again you're walking a certain tightrope, you're going to fall off it. You're going to fall off it, and when you do fall off it, you're going to have to find a way to get back on it. And that's a lot easier if when you fall off it, there are 50,000 people in the ground and 30 million people around the world pointing at you going, what are you doing falling off that tightrope? If instead they're saying, get back on, let's just sort this out, you'll be fine in a minute.
All I can think of is you playing Scrabble with Steve Graves now. Even with maybe 50,000 people watching, do you have a specialist Scrabble word?
No, I hate all that. No, I'd like to think that me and Steve mostly until
like
the
Zorb.
Yeah, yeah.
We're using an X, XZ.
Yeah, yeah.
You know it all.
I know. I try to play the game mostly in a good spirit, Steve. But I very much do. Right up until the point at which I very much don't.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Rock, sport, and talk.
Radio City Talk.